This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Thanks, everybody.
The Bears.
You're listening to the best of the Bears.
He's in for the touchdown. And the Chicago Bears have taken the lead.
A weekly mix of 670 The Score's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Matt Bowen.
Two throws. This one aired out for Galloway. And with contact, it's picked off. Intercepted by Matt Bowen.
NFL writer and analyst for ESPN.
The ball came out. Right now they're calling fumble. Matt Bowen knocked it out.
Seven-year NFL veteran.
There's always going to be corrections. But if you're looking at this from an outside perspective and studying their tape without being in their quarterback meeting room, you saw visible improvement from Justin Fields.
Defensive back coach for IC Catholic football.
One of the greatest things and most rewarding things about being a high school coach is to see the impact it can have on your student athletes.
Matt Bowen on 670 The Score.
As we broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, we go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline and download that Circa app today. Matt Bowen, we have had some great football talk the last hour, and he continues it for us. We had motivated callers yesterday. I joke that you helped make us ready to be like the high school team where we run through the tunnel and then we break the we break the paper banner. We're fired up and we are ready for this. So you got to keep us going here on the Score.
I'll try. What's going on? How are you?
Well, I think I know that you did an extensive draft piece, and I want to get into that because I know you don't do anything half-arse, if you will. That's not your style. So that said, we had a lot of talk about Tremaine Edmonds talking about how the team is in win-now mode and the difference when you know you're on a team that has made a lot of acquisitions and when they haven't. So I figured I would get your take on it to see what you think about the Bears being in that versus maybe what you would say if you know your team might not be in that mode.
Well, I think everyone has to be in win-now mode in today's NFL, right? It is the ultimate business of winning. And I've been there. When we transitioned from Coach Spurrier in Washington and brought in Coach Gibbs, you know, the locker room turned over very quickly. A lot of free agent signings, looking forward to the draft. And there was excitement. There was a different feel in the facility. Now, obviously, Coach Gibbs was coming over, someone who had won three Super Bowls already. He already had the reputation as a championship coach. But I get it. I understand the energy. It feels different. There's a wait till they get on the field. You know, when they start really doing OTAs, on the field, the practice tempo will increase. It'll be much different than it was in the past because the players are more excited to be there.
Sounds like almost have to temper things down while at the same time everyone's trying to make that first impression on not only their head coach, their coordinator, but also their position coach. I wonder, looking at this Bears team, because it seems like we're in this cycle, Matt. Every offseason, the Bears are celebrating offseason titles, at least according to the fan base.
We did. Look, now, we did in Washington every year.
So you're familiar with the process.
Yeah. But until Joe Gibbs came, though, right? Because then everything changes, right, at that moment.
Well, it did. Look, the first year with Coach Gibbs, we had a top 10 defense. We struggled on offense. We did not make the playoffs. But the second year, we did. And it was really the culture that Coach Gibbs built. It was a different way of playing football, a different way of preparing to play football, how you studied every week, much more physical practices. So to your point, things are going to change. Things are going to change drastically in terms of their practice structure, in terms of their meeting structure, how they lift in the weight room. Maybe it's what time they eat lunch. Everything's going to be different. But the players are much more willing to accept those changes because they see excitement. They see an opportunity to win. They see an opportunity to compete. And plus, Ben Johnson has a reputation because of what he did with the offense in Detroit.
And looking at this this document that's in front of me right now, because we had a Google Doc attached, and I went through all the stuff of what you did. I'm just curious, this process versus what you do with free agents, how much more film do you have to watch? Because obviously you have maybe established context for the NFL players that you've seen plenty on versus these guys coming out of college who you're trying to not only look at them on college film, but also adjust what you're seeing to the NFL game.
Right. It's much different, Marshall, to answer your question, because you have to be fair. You have to understand that the tape's not going to be perfect. Understand that these are young athletes that are still developing, especially when you're watching the quarterback position. Okay. When you want to look at the competition they're playing against, right? Okay, if they're playing the SEC and the Big Ten, it's much different tape than if you're looking at a player from the MAC conference, for example, because they're not playing against consistent NFL competition every week. And even if you're in the Big Ten and the SEC, there's going to be players in that football field that are not going to make it to the pros, right? So you have to be fair with the competition and also where they are developmentally and understand that some things, for example, this one, I have people tell me all the time about a corner, mostly corner. Well, he's not a great tackler. Well, is he willing? Okay, because if you're willing, I can coach you, right? I can coach you now. If you're willing to do something, I can coach you. If you show something pretty consistently on tape, I can coach you to be more consistent at a higher rate when you're in the National Football League. So you have to look at really the traits more with the college athletes compared to the pro athletes, because the pro athletes already have the pro tape. You're looking more at scheme fit, future production, how they can play in certain fronts, whether a 40 front or 30 front, where in college you're really just focusing on the traits and how you can develop those traits on Sundays.
And I appreciate you doing that. So the story is on ESPN, Matt Bowen's top prospects at 100 different skills and traits. So he does clarify, like, for example, most powerful rusher, best contact balance, most sudden rusher. So I like how you try to do that, where you're putting yourself in the viewpoint of what is this person really good at and then how do they fit on an NFL team?
Right. And that allows you to have more categories. It went up to 100 this year. And to your point, Lily, it is focused on specific skills or specific traits that they have, right? I'm not going to talk about a player and say, oh, they can't do this. I don't want to hear that. And look, when you write a report, the worst thing you can put in there is but or however. You don't write that stuff. Just say what they can do. And then tell me what they can't do, but do it in a professional way that still looks at the developmental track, potential developmental track of that player once they get to pro football.
Take me through, Mr. Bowen, get me excited about defensive end, because right now I'm having a moment here. I've been all about Tyler Warren in the draft, but I'm having a moment here as far as defensive end is concerned. Can the Bears potentially move up to get Abdul Carter? And then beyond that, I want you to tell me about some of the other guys at the position in which the quarterback is sacked, because I still think the Bears need more. I'm sorry.
Amen.
I think they still
need
more.
No, I agree with you.
They need a
lot
more.
I agree with you, Mark.
Yes.
I agree with you, Mark, and I would agree with the Bears if they went offensive line at 10. If they stayed at 10 and went offensive line, I would agree with that 100%. Marshall and Layla and I talk about it all season. I'll go with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that's the model right now in the National Football League. What do they have? Depth and talent in the offense and defensive line. That's what they're built on. That's what that football team, that's the identity of that football team right now. So you want to be like the champs, right? Well, to do that, you have to add more pass rushers, or you need to get stronger on the edges in your offensive line. Now, Mark, to answer your question, can they move up to get Abdul Carter? I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't.
He's being realistic.
Shot
He's
right
not
down.
Saying they
Mark,
can't.
The answer is no. Probably not going
to
happen.
He did not say can't, but or however.
Well, this is why, Mark. I think, one, the price to move up, you're going to have to probably get to number two. Okay. And if you're Cleveland, now Cleveland is a team that has needs all over that roster. There's no question about that. But Abdul Carter, when you turn on the tape, this is someone you don't pass on.
Yeah.
You can't. I mean, he's so explosive. And look, when I did this piece and I'm going through all the traits of the pass rushers, it's hard not to put him for every one. Okay. That's how talented he is. Now, again, I try to be fair. I try to get a lot of names in this piece, but you could make a pass rushing profile of just Abdul Carter in terms of his flexibility, his power, his speed, his quickness off the football, his counter moves. He is absolutely disruptive. And I don't think a team like Cleveland or New York at number three is willing to give that up. A player the Bears could have. And this is a name that's been all over mock drafts. But Mykel Williams from Georgia.
Ding, 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 ding.
Right. Now, he fits the defensive profile of Dennis Allen. When you look at what he had in New Orleans in terms of the frame, the size, and the power of his defensive ends, Mykel Williams has those physical tools. He can rush with speed to power. And again, are there counter moves there? Are there enough there yet? No. But again, I could teach that. I cannot teach the physical profile, right? I cannot do that. I cannot, but I can teach hand usage. I can teach how to set up an offensive tackle from a defensive line coach. But the power and the speed off the ball, that's what you're looking for. And that's a player that does fit the profile of what they want at the defensive end position.
Just to give an example, as we're joined by Matt Bowen, former NFLer and now NFL writer and analyst for ESPN. We're talking about his 2025 top prospects and all the different traits from Mykel Williams that he just described. Here's the synopsis. An easy fit for the loaded defensive fronts we see in the NFL. Williams can use his long 6'5 frame to convert speed to power from edge alignments. He's a physical defender with the tools to develop into a disruptive force. One of my favorite things about the way this is laid out is because you're talking about all these different traits across a position. And we know that the Bears need a running back, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking through how you're listing the running backs and kind of what you're saying these guys are best at going up and down the list of characteristics and traits. I'm curious as to what you think of those traits is the most important for the Bears to get based on who they already have in their running back room and what you think Ben Johnson wants to do with that running back position.
I think the pass catching ability has to be there. Now, you don't need to be Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield, but to be able to produce on swings and screens and underneath throws, be an outlet for quarterback Caleb Williams. I think that's a complementary piece you have to have in today's NFL. And most of these running backs do have that. The other thing is downhill decisive power. I think that's what you're looking for right now. If you're pairing a running back with DeAndre Swift, you want someone who has the north-south juice, the north-south power to move the pile, to move the sticks, and also some explosive ability when they get through the second level. Now, a name there, and look, you guys know where I went to college, but Caleb Johnson from Iowa obviously fits that profile very well. Judkins from Ohio State fits that profile very well. Now, someone like Travion Henderson, I think, is going to move up in this draft class because of what he can do in pass protection and catching the football out of the backfield. That, to me, I'm not saying the Bears won't do something like that, but that, to me, isn't a great compliment to Swift, right? You want what Ben Johnson had in Detroit. You had Jahmyr Gibbs, you had David Montgomery. Different skill sets, but both fit into the offensive structure.
Matt Bowen, this is such a great compilation, especially because you give us the viewpoint of what NFL coaches see. You know, so many times we talk about how the Bears love relative athletic score, which you're familiar with well, or we talk about traits, and you're talking about how to use them. So I want to know, out of this list of all the traits that you mentioned, and these are pretty good compliments when you consider guys' skill sets, what is your favorite trait or compliment that you gave one of these players on this list?
There's two. Okay, the first one, and they're both in the secondary, but I have Lathan Ransom, safety from Ohio State. I have him listed as the best tone setter. Okay, now what does that mean? That means someone who's an enforcer, an intimidating player when you turn on the film. And that's what you want. You want to set the identity of your defensive backfield. And you need that tone setter. You need that tone setter. Someone who will drop the hammer on contact, will basically roam the middle of the field and close the middle of the field in the short to intermediate areas, because wide receivers don't want to go in there anymore, right? I think it's important to have in your secondary as an intimidator or an enforcer, because it allows you to set a certain identity you want to put on tape and you want everyone across the league to see. The next one is Billy Bowman Jr., a safety from Oklahoma. He used the term most urgency in coverage. That's something I always look for, even at the high school level where I coach. How urgent are you? What that means is your play speed. How quick are you to the football? Now, how disruptive are you because of your play speed? That stands out to me on tape. When you turn on the tape of Bowman, there's something different about him. Similar to like a Buda Baker, if you ever watched the Arizona Cardinals play, and how fast he is to the football. What that does, it allows you, it puts you in a position to make plays, for one, but it also increases the team speed around you. Now you can have someone who can cut off the ball on the perimeter, someone who can close quickly on throws in the middle of the field. And to me, those are important traits to have.
So based on what you just said, because we know that because of the Jaquan Brisker situation and Kevin Byard not knowing how long he'll be with the Bears, he's in a contract year coming up. Who do you like for the Bears to maybe supplement, and where do you think they'll fall in this draft in terms of the guys you just named or a guy you think the Bears should be interested in at safety?
Well, one name I'll mention, I don't know if the Bears will have an opportunity to draft him or if they will, but just, you know, a player that I really liked when studying him on tape was Xavier Watts, the safety from Notre Dame. Because he has difference in making ability, because he can make plays in the football. He had 13 interceptions over the last two seasons. That's a big number in college football. He's got post range. He's got split field range. And you have to have that in today's NFL. It's a passing league. You have to have someone that can take the ball away and can really close the post for you in the middle of the field. And something else I was thinking about, that I was talking about Billy Bowman Jr., and someone asked me for a comp for him. And not so much in pass coverage. I think Billy Bowman is someone that can also play in the slot. But in terms of disruptive ability, he reminds me of Mike Brown, the former Chicago Bears safety. You know, someone who's disruptive and takes the ball away, right? And you want that in the secondary.
Mike Brown, one really just a great safety with the Bears, part of one of my favorite seasons in 2001 with the back-to-back walk-offs. Just going down the list here, Bowen, Joe Tooney, Drew Dolman, Jonah Jackson, Dio Odangbo, Grady Jarrett, Devin Duvernay, Olamide Zaccheaus. All right, man, this is the moment. The Bears at number 10. With all of that in mind, I don't know if I necessarily need a player from you, but like, what position do you go, Matt Bowen, at number 10? And if you got a player, lay it on me.
I'll have a player for now. It'll probably change three times before we get to the draft. But for today, it's Kelvin Banks Jr., the left tackle from Texas.
That's what I have right now. Okay. Yes.
I think the athletic profile, I don't know if that, Marshall, I don't know if he falls. I think that's the range you should go in. I really do. I think Will Campbell's going to, first of all, I think Will Campbell's going to go higher than people expect. And look, some teams might grade him as a guard. Okay, I understand that. But just in terms of what he is as a football player, I think he goes higher than number 10. I think Banks is someone that can play at the left tackle position. He's got the athletic profile. He's got great footwork. Did not give up a lot of pressures and sacks in college. Played against really good competition. That's someone you really want to develop, who has the traits and tools you want at the left tackle position. What that tells the Bears is, it tells that current roster that's getting ready in the offseason program right now, that we're going to challenge you. We are bringing in players to challenge you and to compete to take your jobs. And that's what you want. You want the ultimate competitive environment. You know, the veteran players have to understand that. That's part of this. And we didn't mention that at the top, but when you go through a coaching change, hey, everyone's on alert right now. Because when you go through a coaching change, you weren't good enough last year. You simply weren't good enough. Yep. And that's part of playing pro football. I went through it. And they're going to draft players at your same position.
It's scary, isn't it? Scary as hell.
And it's not necessarily they're trying to run you out of town, but they are trying to increase that competitive profile in everyone. And that's why I was talking about the play speed during practice, why it's going to increase. Because people are going to be fighting for jobs for real this year.
I also think that there was a good point made in the draft analysis discussion, which is sometimes teams don't want to see more from guys they consider slam dunks. You know, that they want to visit certain people's pro days where they may still have questions. They want to bring somebody in. Can you speak to that part of it, where maybe somebody's getting a visit because they do have a little bit more they want to see?
Well, sure. I mean, that's part of the your top 30 visits, is to bring them in. Also, to you know, that's also to put that out in the media on purpose to try to move up or move down in draft position. I understand that. But sure, you don't get enough time at the combine. First of all, you don't get enough time to interview and sit down with these players. You don't get enough time at pro days because there's a lot going on. And I think those top 30 visits really give you an opportunity to understand the person, understand the football character, understand their competitive drive and why they play this game. And most importantly, understand if they love football or not. Because to be good in this league and to stay in this league, you have to love the game. You have to love the grind about it. You have to love the tough days. You have to love the times when you're hurt and you still have to play through an injury to get on the field on Sunday. You have to love every aspect of this game to be a great pro. And that's a big part of the interview process.
Well, as usual, you've got us fired up still, Matt. Thank you for the motivational speech. I just need something to run through. That's my only issue here. All I have is a doorway.
That works. Yeah.
We'll find something. I'll tackle maybe a trash can. I'll figure it out.
Thanks so much, Matt.
Matt, thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And don't forget to read his article because he does such good analysis.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday bath?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Afternoons on the Score.
He didn't have a bad year.
No, he did not.
I think throughout the whole season, he threw like 5 or 6 interceptions.
Yep.
As a rookie? Dude, like, come on, man. Like, you got to give that man his props. Like, of course he got sacked, or maybe he held the ball too long, whatever. And it's like, it's seeming like he was kind of like learning on his own almost. You know what I mean?
Spice Adams talking about Caleb Williams and some of the struggles that he had last year. And yeah, it did seem like at times he was on his own because you were going to leave his tutelage to Shane Waldron?
Yeah, just a brutal, brutal hire. An embarrassing process, all of it.
Where does he go? Does he go, okay, well, I'll go talk to the head coach?
No.
Nope, no help there.
Only when the cameras for Hard Knocks are around. That's when you go talk to the head coach.
Let me go back to my quarterback room. There's a vet in here that can, well, nope.
There was no vet player. Now, to your point,
if Nick Saban had left the room, you got no shot, Caleb. I'm sorry. As long as Nick Saban's here, we can talk quarterback play.
How about the passing game coordinator? Thomas Brown seemed like a truth teller. Oh, what? They met each other for the first time when Thomas Brown became the OC.
Like, it's all...
It's embarrassing. Space. It's so embarrassing.
I'm so glad he's the new head coach, by the way.
Congratulations right. On dinner. Looking forward to that.
No, yeah. No, I don't know.
In retrospect, what last year's Bears season looks like is crazy town.
It's laughable. It is absolutely crazy town. But here we are with an opportunity to create the dream. The dream is Bill Walsh and Joe Montana, Mike Holmgren and Brett Favre. You know, Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. The dream is offensive-minded head coach who has assistants that maybe cycle through and you never have to worry because he's the guru and he's here and he's in charge, with quarterback that sets you up for a decade. That's the dream. It always should be the dream, because at its best, that's what you want. Bears have a shot at it right now. Let's see. You got a super skilled former number one pick and the prized offensive head coach from this last cycle. Now let's watch and see how it develops.
It's funny because when you said Ben Johnson's got to figure out a lot of stuff, and like this is the first thing, in my mind, I went to one of the next things, which was the multitasking that he now has to do as a head coach versus being the guy that's in charge of offense. It's different. And figuring out how to spend your time and where to spend your time. But I think that's another thing where we can look at and go, look at what he hired as a staff and say, oh, well, the defense, he can, I wouldn't say leave it alone, but if he wanted to, he could.
He could tell some philosophical things to Dennis Allen and then let him take care of business.
A guy with actual head coaching experience who is known for running a defense well.
Right.
So you've got that. If worse comes to worse, if there's some sort of like disaster where Ben's like, I have to spend more time with the offense,
mm-hmm.
he can do it theoretically because of who he hired as his DC.
And he's got Declan Doyle as the offensive coordinator, who is a thrilled and willing assistant to do all of the grunt work that could possibly right. be asked of him, while letting Ben make every philosophical choice and call all the plays.
Yeah, take care of these cards. This gotcha. Is how we're going to run practice. Let's see it at the end of the night. We'll go over the scripts, all of that stuff.
Right.
But I'm big picture man.
I'm big picture.
Big picture man.
And we'll see who else gets in the quarterbacks here. JT Barrett, as the quarterbacks coach, of course, one would assume. I don't know how much Declan Doyle is going to be in the quarterbacks here, but we know Ben Johnson's going to be. He already is.
Or Eric Bieniemy putting a foot up his ass.
Getting his Norm Van Leer on.
Shout out to Norm.
All right.
I miss Norm.
Norm owns that phrase.
Oh, my God.
He owns that completely. It's his intellectual property.
I miss that, man.
Agreed.
Here is Caleb Williams talking about how this could be a career course change for him.
Ben said last week that this offense is going to likely require you to go under center more. At this point of the offseason, what does that preparation look like?
It's the whole thing. It's working, getting up to the line, and it's like visualizing, like getting up to the line, staying the cadence, being on the center, you know, controlling those things, going over the routes, concepts, the footwork in your head in the off season, so that, you know, when those times hit and it's fourth quarter and you can't think about those things and you can't focus on those things, it's second nature, second habit, first nature, first habit of doing that, and getting under there and going through the cadence, going through the huddle sequence, getting up to the line, making checks if needed or anything like that. So I'm just practicing those things now, visualizing those things now, and building on those.
The Bears brought in a
connection with Lincoln during your time at Oklahoma, USC. I know it's very early with Ben, but do you have a sense of kind of what that connection is going to be like and how you two can grow together as head coach and quarterback?
Yeah, I think I have a knack for being able to tell when I vibe with somebody or anything like that and connect well with somebody. And I would say it was pretty similar feeling from when I, you know, met Lincoln 5 years ago now, I guess, 6 years ago, which is crazy to say, but 5 years ago. You know, like I said, a very similar feeling. Obviously, he's different in his own ways and unique ways, but a similar feeling for sure.
How is it different from a year ago when you came in as a rookie and you were meeting a new staff then for the first time?
This feels different. Obviously, it's the same in that sense. Being around these, you know, these coaches and, you know, some of these new guys, obviously that's new, and that's how I felt last year. I think some of it for me, though, is the fact that I've gone through a year, the fact, you know, that I had ups and downs and, you know, we stayed strong and I stayed strong. And I think that's the difference to it so far for me and the feeling for me. And then obviously, you know, what Ben has been able to do, bring some excitement for me. So, you know, those have been the two main things of, you know, I've had a year under my belt now of ups and downs and good and bad and things like that. And then the excitement of Ben being here and his creativity and all these different things.
What impressed you most about what Ben did in Detroit? And how do you expect that he working with you will specifically benefit you and your career?
Us growing together is key. starting now. Him pushing me, key, and I know that, and he knows that. You know, him pushing me because it's a, as he says, and as he said before, it's a QB-driven league, and so you know, being able to have that position right on every team. That's why that position is so important in draft or, you know, people trying to get the QBs is at this day and age of the game, I would say is because it's so QB driven. And if you have that position right, it helps with, you know, a bunch of different things. And so, you know, so building that bond, you know, him pushing me and us growing together for years to come. It's going to be fun. I can't wait. And you know, to be able to help me, you know, learn more about ball because he's super smart, super sharp. And, you know, grow and progress in those ways so that, you know, year four, you know, I'm out there and it's, you know, Ben's obviously still, you know, calling, Ben's doing his thing, but you know, it's a Jared thing where Jared's out there now. He's just, you know, he's calling the whole game in a sense of when he's out there on the field and he's been the coach.
Ooh, dig that. So Jared Goff being in charge that way, that's a North Star for Caleb.
You got to earn that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, let me just say, there's some decoding of Caleb and some kind of patience that it takes to listen to Caleb because he's so careful and he's really good about being careful not to say anything. Like, he's not the guy we're going to go to for comparison with the last staff. Yeah, he's not really going to give us that because he doesn't want to bus toss anybody, and that's cool. But we just got to listen for the stuff that he talks about for right now and moving on. When he says, yeah, he's super smart, he's super creative, you know, and you think about the way that he was when he let his guard down with Amon-Ra St. Brown on that podcast. Remember that. In terms of how he feels about Ben. And the thing in there about like him pushing me, he said it a few times. I know it's going to be about him pushing me. So he knows he's going to get pushed and he's going to be able to take it. I think he's going to be able to take it. It's just going to be really, really interesting and important to watch.
So this was the second time that I heard Caleb because I was listening in the office before the show. And one of the things that I don't think that we spend enough time talking about, and I get it, it's results-based. People want it now. They've heard all the stories about what Caleb Williams is and who he was going to be when he pops into the NFL. The concept of becoming a professional, it's hard for any of us to understand when you get that first real job of what it takes to then do it. And then when you think about it from the perspective of, here's a guy that has always been the person who has been looked to as the leader, as the guy, as he's doing all this stuff. And now there might be a part of this that's going to take him a while to adjust to while having to navigate. Oh, I got a C on my chest because I'm the quarterback of the team. Things don't feel right here. And I feel weird maybe even saying they don't feel right because I don't know, because I'm not used to this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even with some of the growth that we saw, and obviously Jaden Daniels is the guy that people are going to most closely associate Caleb Williams with, 1-2 in the draft, I want to give him the grace of, oh, okay, now I got it. I understand how this works. Like him saying inside of there when he's saying, now that I have a full season, and he kind of chuckles under it. Now that he understands what NFL life is like.
There's a level of learning. There's a level of this, a level of that, level of being public in front of you guys every week. Like the exhaustion of the length of the season and everything like, yeah, no, he didn't know. How could you know?
And
now
he's lived it. He didn't really have a lot of great role models to help him out in that regard. So I think that's part of this too. It's something that I'm looking for. The idea of being challenged by Ben Johnson on that front to me is significant, because how do you deal with that? How do you deal with someone? Now you're dealing with someone who does know the answers to the test.
Mm-hmm.
You're not dealing with someone who's guessing. He wrote the test.
Yeah, you know,
he knows the answers to it.
You're reminding me of last year. Caleb referenced grace in training camp, that he appreciated the grace that he was getting from the coaches. Might have been a little too much grace and about the wrong things. But like the grace, he still needs it, though. He still needs it as a young man, you know, and it's going to have to come, but maybe with different aspects. We got more that we need to hear, and I don't want to shortchange anything.
Neither do I.
Let's stay right here with it.
All right, there's one more piece of sound from Caleb, because we're trying to figure out, and maybe you can help us with this, if Caleb understands a concept
And it, I wouldn't fault him if he didn't.
Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there who don't understand the concept.
And it gives us an opportunity to whiteboard some stuff. We'll do that next here on The Score.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I mean, today we had our first quiz in the QB room. And it's not like a real quiz where you go up and write stuff. It's just us. We went over a few things yesterday, talked about a few things, and, you know, Ben walked in, this morning, flung open the door, made a grand entrance, and then we got to work of him testing us about what we talked about yesterday and things like that. So already first day in and challenging us, and, you know, everybody loves a challenge in this sport. It's one of the great things about this sport. Every day is a challenge, and, today we got our first one.
That was Caleb Williams embracing his challenges as the Bears continue their OTAs, off-season workout programs, whatever you want to call them, the things they do in the off-season.
Organized
team activities, not to be confused with off-season team activities, which don't exist. So it's just organized team activities.
Technically, you're still correct. It is off-season.
Yeah, but I want to get the acronym correct.
I just call it practice.
The OTAs.
Yeah.
But
they're not in pads.
That's true. They were getting their parking passes yesterday and figuring out how to get to and from and where the locker room is and where the cafeteria is.
An administrative day, if you will.
Administrative day, exactly.
Yeah, yes. If there's guys that I think may not know where the parking lots are at Hallis, definitely the Bears.
Designated spots, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so. I think it was more administrative, but... Caleb Williams, we heard a lot from yesterday at Hallis Hall. Mark Grody, we went over it with you. Marshall Harris and I did. So I feel like there was a lot there to digest and just try to figure out how he is going to work with Ben Johnson. We know he wanted Ben Johnson as a head coach. That's been established. The St. Brown brothers, unfortunately, were the ones who had to deal with that victory lap for Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
But it's what happens next. And we've heard Ben Johnson so many times talk about how this is going to be hard and what that entails. So the phrase from Joe Madden, embrace the suck, came to mind. And Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, who has been very plugged in when it comes to Bears process, had this to say once their practices were underway.
Caleb Williams said all the right things, and I think he has and will continue to do so. He wants Ben Johnson to challenge him, wants his offensive coaching staff to challenge him. It's going to be really hard. And I know he's ready. I know he thinks he's ready. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if he truly understands what it's going to be like just to go from good. And Caleb Williams was good last year, certainly had his moments, kept the ball out of the hands of the opponents, kind of kept some drives moving, probably took too many sacks, got a little too beat up. So there was certainly some good there. But to be great, to be one of the actual greats, which his talent should allow him to do, Kyle, yep, it is going to be really miserable. And Ben Johnson has been incredibly successful in Detroit. Is he the most pleasant person to be around during the season? I don't think he is. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. And I don't even know if right now Caleb Williams understands, but like on a Monday night in November, it's going to suck.
Okay.
And if you want to be great, it has to suck. And so, yeah, like it's all smiles now. He's out there. He's looking cool. It's a lot of positivity. To get where they need to go, he has to embrace being absolutely and utterly miserable.
That's why we're here, to embrace the suck.
Yeah, I agree with everything Ian Rappaport said there, and I agree with it because this is what I know. The greatest will tell you how hard they have to work and how much sacrifice they have to make. That's something Ben Johnson actually instituted in his introductory press conference. It was going to depend on how hard they're willing to work and how much they're willing to sacrifice. And I think that's a very specific message, not only to players in general, but to his quarterback, who he knows is going to have to improve in a lot of ways if he wants to reach this greatness that he's dreamed of since he was a kid, when he talked about being picked number one overall in the NFL draft. And now you are the number one overall draft pick in the NFL, but you have not lived up to the expectation. You were outplayed, actually, by the number two overall pick in the NFL. And some of that is not your fault, because he was put in a better situation was Jaden Daniels. But I'll say this, Ben Johnson is going to have this dude doing stuff, and he's going to be like, man, I'm tired. You better get used to being tired, get comfortable being what?
Uncomfortable.
What is this training camp going to be like? I'm listening, Marshall,
I'm not going to lie. You did just kind of delve into movie speech there. Like, you had a point, and then you just kind of went into like, now let's run through the tunnel.
What?
We have no opponent.
Unlock me. I'm listening to him, Ian Rappaport, sort of parroting what Ben Johnson has been saying about like the theme of the preseason so far.
Unlock me.
You find that man.
Also, I'm a little disturbed as to how much Joe Madden sounded like he could have been Tony La Russa there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't put the voices together.
I think it was just that particular soundbite.
Are the Bears going to be doing two-a-days this summer?
Is that really a question?
I don't think that's allowed anymore, Mark.
Well, I'm just saying, man, the way everybody's talking.
Two-a-days, like, that is the way you
are
know.
Are we going full pads and OTAs? What's going on? What are they going to do to this quarterback?
Wait, didn't the Bears get in trouble for practicing too hard? Like, didn't that actually happen?
Oh, they did.
They got dinged.
What was the punishment?
Twice they got punished.
Flusa's first year.
Like, they got warned once, and then they're like, we don't need your warning. And then they just kept doing the same thing, and then something happened.
Because there's a limit on what you can do and how much you can do in the mini camp, and they were doing too much in the mini camp.
That's right.
That's exactly what it was. I remember.
And then they didn't do enough in the season.
For three straight seasons, you would say?
Yeah, I would, actually.
Get your free tickets to training camp now, folks. It's on. It's going to be hard. What are they going to do to this quarterback? My God.
See, I would argue when we're talking about Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and that relationship and the work that he's going to put in, yes, I understand you are being sarcastic when you asked about the two-a-days. Yeah. It's not really, you can't do
that.
I
don't want to get in trouble.
But you could do as much work that would feel like two-a-days if you're a quarterback trying to figure it out from a mental comprehension standpoint in terms of the playbook, the play calling, the adjustments that have to be made, what you know when you step up to the line of scrimmage pre-play, pre-snap.
Yep.
And so I think that's the kind of stuff that Ian Rappaport was really talking about, is bearing your head in the books in this film and understanding not only defenses, but also your own play. And have you been evaluated from a self-scout standpoint enough?
I do think, though, that the first thing the Bears talked about last year was how Caleb Williams got the install, and they alluded to this, before he even got drafted. So that's something that they supposedly were already doing with him, and he was supposed to already be so ahead for what happened last season. Mm-hmm. And perhaps that's why they wanted to instill that pure progression read system, which we know didn't work. So when I hear all these guys talking about accountability, one of the pieces to me is, if we're hearing this and we're hearing Ian Rappaport say this, not that he doesn't come up with his own thoughts and observations, but this is sourced from another place as well. So I don't know if it's because the focus is particularly on the quarterback here, or does somebody think that he's going to have to learn a lot more in order to reach his full potential.
Well, I think, and Dan Weider wrote like a really good article about, you know, essentially it was Caleb Williams needs to learn how to be a professional. He's not bad. He's not lazy. None of that kind of stuff. But it sounded to me like the overtones were that this is a quarterback that needs to learn how to be a professional quarterback and do all the things that one needs to do to succeed as a quarterback. He obviously was not surrounded by the right people last year, but I'm guessing that there was some frustration even with that coaching staff when it came to coaching Caleb Williams at times. And now it's time to, let's do it right. Let's clean the slate. And here's what's going to be hard, guys, is the fact that, you know, we talked about this a lot yesterday, but he will be learning to go under center. That is not something he did a ton of last year. Like 16% of the time, I think, he was under center, and the rest of the time shotgun and whatever else. So that is something that's going to be hard to learn. And I am not completely clear on, like, other than it's hard to learn and all of that kind of stuff, like why it has to be so hard for, like, why we're really grinding this point about it having to be hard for Caleb Williams.
Yeah, especially when it looked easy for so many other rookie quarterbacks last season, let's be honest. And the season before.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Scully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, I really appreciate getting a chance to talk to you, Brad, because a lot of the stuff that you're writing about, you had a question in the mailbag where someone wanted to know if there are scenarios that haven't really been discussed about who the Bears could take with the 10th overall pick. And I found that really interesting because we had a conversation recently where we were talking about just different ideas, kind of outside the box stuff. And we got into the corners a little bit, and you talk about the cornerback situation. And, you know, I don't know how to feel. I don't think they're giving up on Tyrique Stevenson. I don't believe that. But I do think that this is a super important year for a guy that was shaky a bit last year, ran afoul of some trouble, obviously was benched after the incident with the Hail Mary pass in Washington, and then did not take well to that and seemed to really be impacted by it. So, you know, hopefully new staff, new coaches, they can get to him, they can get the best out of him. But Jalen Johnson is going to be apparently running around the field guarding the best receiver. Good idea. And I don't know if we believe that Tyrique Stevenson is going to be the guy that maybe they thought he was when they moved up and drafted him.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because they've got some depth at the cornerback position. And if they sell the idea that they believe new secondary coach Al Harris can bring the very best out of a young and talented Tyrique Stevenson, you know what? I'd sit back and watch that. Like, I'd be open-minded about him being able to play with more consistency. The question I got in the mailbag was, is there a scenario for that 10th pick that maybe hasn't been publicly discussed or kicked around in right. the media or has gone under the radar a little bit? I would have a high level of confidence that inside the building, the Bears are there are no, like, under-the-radar possibilities, that everything is being evaluated, which is a process that's ongoing. But in my answer to the question, I said, well, you know, one possibility, and I'm not saying it's a likelihood, but here's something we haven't heard a lot about. What about a cornerback at 10? Because at 10, potentially you're taking the second cornerback in the class after Travis Hunter, who's a cornerback and a wide receiver. And if your grade on a cornerback that's available at that point, Will Johnson from Michigan could be a possibility, is considerably higher than what you've got on an edge rusher or a potential offensive lineman that might be able to, you know, play tackle, and you're going to remain true to your grading system, well, maybe you go with a corner there, and then, you know, if you feel like you've got a really top flight corner coming out of the draft, well, I mean, you get that position really locked down then, and you've also got some depth.
So, Brad, the players reported back to Hallis Hall on Monday for the beginning of the offseason program, and we heard from many of them a day later. What, if anything, held any significance to you based on what you heard from some of the Bears?
Well, I mean, I'd listen to Jalen Johnson, folks. You know, he's I would advise fans and other members of the media probably to listen to Jalen Johnson when he pointed out that he's been through the off-season hype, and he knows what that looks like, and that doesn't mean a thing in the regular season. We've talked on the program about the Bears hanging off-season championship banners inside the Walter Payton Center, right? They're running out of room in the rafters. You've got to go out and you got to play better during the season. You got to play more consistently, and you've got to win more football games. So I thought Jalen Johnson kept it real, and there is reason for optimism here. I like the head coaching hire a lot. I'm intrigued by some of the guys on Ben Johnson's staff. The moves in free agency and otherwise, trades to fortify the roster have made sense. But they've got to get better through the draft. They've got to get some impact players through the draft. They've got to draft and develop their young players. And they've got to get a better and stronger roster as well.
So we had
And then, like, I saw some people kind of made a big deal about Tremaine Edmonds saying, you know, they're in win now mode.
Yeah.
Let's just press the pause button here and evaluate this. You've got a player.
Why?
Saying they're in win now mode. Like, if a player says anything other than that, it's newsworthy.
Well, then. That's what Jalen Johnson is saying. He's saying, well, I'm not that excited. You shouldn't be that excited. We're just going to disappoint you anyway.
I mean, but a player saying we're in win now mode? Yeah, of course you're in win
Tremaine
now mode.
Edmonds did not say just we're in win now mode. He said that Ben Johnson entered the room. You liked what you heard. He gets it, and he's the guy that we believe in.
Well, of course they believe in him, and they believed in Eberflus until he wasn't the coach anymore.
I want you to tell Bears are leading the league in offseason victories. I don't need the leaders of the Bears to tell me to tone things down because it's too much hype. I want them to believe that they're one season away from going to the playoffs. Or they're one season away. They're in win now mode. I want to hear that from the players.
Did you buy into the Justin Fields as my quarterback? When they were, you know, three quarters of the way through the 2023 season, and it was abundantly clear to anyone without Kool-Aid glasses on that he wasn't going to be the quarterback of the Bears. I mean, did you want to hear that too?
That's different scenario. That was in season. We had evidence. When you're starting a new regime, I'm okay with over the top optimism from players who were in there and believing that they're capable of things that they may not have done before.
I'm cool with him saying that, but it's like people look, they're in win now mode. Well, yeah, of course the player's going to say they're in win now mode. Let's see what they do in the draft. Let's see what things look like this summer, and we'll hopefully look a heck of a lot better, and they'll hopefully be a heck of a lot more competitive, and won't fall into the kind of traps and ruts that just destroyed this past season.
I had no problem with the Bears staying with Braxton Jones last year because he still had a couple of years left on his contract and you didn't know what you had on your offensive line. They made some moves and they came out and said the offensive line was going to be better than ever and all that. But the reality is that they've now brought in three new starters on the interior of that line, and they've got a right tackle they drafted and believe in, and the left tackle will not be able to start training camp. He's going to be added as the year goes on. And maybe they're shooting for the season opener with him. I don't know how quickly he will be up and running, but it does worry me both that he is injured right now and that his contract runs out at the end of the year. And I think it makes it more critical than ever to get a left tackle. Now, I want to ask you about who that would be if you believe that Will Campbell would be there at 10, if he's moving or if he's set there. And I want to get your take on Armand Membau, the kid from Mizzou.
The right tackle.
You're familiar with him. Played right tackle in college, but there are people that believe he might be able to play on the left side in the NFL. That seems like a real reach. I talked to a guy last week. Well, I got you, but it's going to be tough if you can't start the season with Braxton Jones.
Yeah, let's not rule Braxton Jones out for the start of training camp yet. Like, let's just.
Okay.
That's a long ways off. I'd be open mind. Obviously, he's not going to be you know, full strength this spring. But with camp a long ways off, we'll see where that is. It's an interesting situation because if Will Campbell's not there, and some teams are evaluating Will Campbell as a guard, what are you going to do with Mbembu? Listen, there are teams that are looking at him. More teams looking at him as a guard than as a left tackle. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of times these college programs, when they've got a guy that's played right tackle for them, they're telling you without telling you that the guy's not a left tackle in the
right,
NFL.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That's why, you know, Tevin Jenkins was a right tackle at Oklahoma State and he was not cut out to play left tackle in the National Football League. So it's interesting because it's not like there was this super left tackle candidate that was available in free agency that they weren't able to get. Ronnie Stanley re-signed with the Baltimore Ravens. I think they're aware of the issue there. Are there potentially some guys they could get in round two that would fit there? Josh Connerly of Oregon. I don't know how they feel about Josh Simmons out of Ohio State, who's coming off a knee injury.
Kelvin Banks.
You hear some up and down things about him. I don't think it's their plan. I would be curious if they've completely ruled out the idea of using Joe Tooney at left tackle. I don't know.
Yeah.
I highly doubt that's plan A.
Yeah, I hope that's not plan A.
It might be plan B, but is it something that you can't discount? So we'll have to see. But, you know, when you get Drew Dahlman, who in my opinion is the big addition on the offensive line, you get Tooney, you get Jonah Jackson, and you're, you know, given the appearance that you're intent on building it from the inside out, you know, can you really say you fully committed to it when you basically flipped a couple mid to late round picks and made one big signing without using a high draft pick on your offensive line? Like, do you have to do that to kind of follow through on that process?
Good stuff, Brad. Thanks for the insight.
Thank you, buddy. Great catching up.
Have a great day, guys.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Listen, I'm passionate about what I do. I love what I do. And I love who I do it with as well. So, like I said, we got this coaching staff. It's wired exactly like we wanted it to do. Feel strongly about the players we brought into the building as well. I do think, you know, you can win and lose games based on how hard you're playing. You can play harder than your opponent in this league and win ball games, even though the parity is such that everything's close. And so that's where the intensity, the attitude with which we play, the speed with which we play, it's all really important down in and down out.
Down in and down out, but not bear down and not down and out. You got that?
Not down and back, because that's another thing. You know,
yeah, that is workout. A thing. That is a thing.
Did not like down and backs or suicides or anything where I'm going down
up
shuttle
downs,
style.
Burpees.
Oh, I like burpees. I know, unpopular, hot take.
No, they're
burpees
good
are
for
awesome.
You.
They're
they
fun.
They are good for you, unfortunately. Ben Johnson and his sense of discipline was who that was, joined with Luke Nellis, who was at the owners' meetings, and that's where that conversation took place. And we are broadcasting live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And before we get into this sound from our friend Jalen Johnson over at Hollis Hall, who just spoke, we want to let you know that there's a very special episode of the Take the North podcast coming up. It is going to be live.
A very special episode.
A very special episode. Maybe it's after your school. I don't know. Mark Grody and Dan Wiederer are doing the show on Thursday, April 17th from 6 to 7 p.m. here at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. And we are going to be giving away tickets during the show. So you want to listen for that. Yeah, very special episode.
I feel
I'm so excited.
When you hear
so
a very
scared.
Special episode, it takes me straight back to childhood and like about 4 p.m. a show's coming on, and a very special episode. Very, very heartwarming, very serious subject matter. What comes to mind? Maybe Saved by the Bell. I'm so excited.
Yes.
Yeah, that falls under that
purview,
right?
That's what I just said, yeah.
Yeah.
So, now that we've handled caffeine intake can be dangerous for you, and there's an after-school special that could happen.
I'm so scared.
We need to get to people who seem naturally energized. Let's start with Jalen Johnson on the Score.
Y'all surprised to see me or something? What's up?
What's going on?
Not much. Chilling. You all right?
I'm good.
Love to see you. Good to see you.
What was Ben's message yesterday when you guys got here?
It was a lot. It was one of the longest ones he said he'll have. So, but I think overall just setting the tone for what we want to do this year. And really just having a sense of urgency right now, not just waiting and going through a process and figuring out what we're going to do, but establishing who we are right now and then working towards that goal. Really just the mindset of winning and winning right now and winning a certain type of way, too. I think just having that dominating mentality is something that I took from the team meeting, and it starts now. It starts with the work that we put in. It starts with gelling and being cohesive and understanding what they're going to be asking from us, especially on defense, just understanding the mentality, understanding the mindset and identity that we're going to establish, and really just chasing that throughout the offseason, throughout the training.
Are you the type of guy who gets fired up in April by a new coach? I know the answer to this, but I'm asking anyway.
I've been through it too many times, man. I'm going to get excited when we win in November and December and we change some things and get to the playoffs. That's when I'll be excited. But right,
an extension of that, the next 5 months are going to be all about talk and hype and excitement and energy. How do you navigate that, knowing your mindset and not really being bought into all that stuff?
That don't got nothing to do with me. The only thing that has anything to do with me is the work that I put in, the work that we put in as a unit, and just taking the steps in the right direction. Other than that, the talk, the hype and all that, I mean, hype don't win you no games. So, I mean, I've been here a minute, and I've been through the hype, and we don't win no games. So, I mean, for me, if it's not about winning, quite honestly, I don't really care about it.
Been through it too many times, as you mentioned. This is your third head coach. I'm not sure how many defensive coordinators off the top of my head. Does anything feel different with Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen this time? Anything new?
No, I mean, we're still trying to figure each other out. I mean, I just seen the guys in person for the first time yesterday. So, I mean, nothing feels different for me. At the end of the day, again, I'll see in camp to start. And, I mean, that's when the real ball will show up. And then really, I mean, throughout season, we'll see. Cause, I mean, things can start off rocky in the beginning. We figure it out and things change throughout the back half or middle of the season. Or we start off hot and then we the bed. So, I mean, it kind of just depends for me. At the end of the day, to me, it's about winning. And I feel like if we go out there and we win on Sunday, I'll feel good about everybody.
Yeah. All right, let's stop it. Here's why. This quote right here is going to hit. And it's going to hit. It should stay with you. That don't got nothing to do with me when asked about the hype, right? He's seen it too many times. He's basically fooled me once, shame. Fool me twice, can't fool me again. Listen, that I
strategery.
I love this attitude from Jalen Johnson, because he's like, y'all can get hyped if you want. I'll wait till we get on the field and start doing things and winning games in October, November, whenever, September, whenever. But I'm not here for the talk.
Well, also, think about how the season went down.
Exactly. So, what,
you know, here he is enjoying his life in London, and they had just beaten Jacksonville on the 13th of October.
You mean
and
when he said
they had a 10-game losing streak? And what happened the season before? And then they had a 10-game losing streak. Man. I don't discredit Jalen Johnson at all for pointing out the obvious that has happened the last 2 years. Let's play it.
How about style of play? You've played in a couple different styles of defense here. What have you been able to see, watch, or how do you feel like this would suit your skill set?
You lock up the number one guy, number one on number one. So, I mean, for me, that's what I'm looking forward to doing. That's what I look forward for the most. That's what I train for. That's what I work hard for. So, I mean, for me, it's just going to be about that, being ready to go out there and lock up, challenge guys, make things hard on the offense, mess up timing. And then the dogs up front, they got to eat. So, I mean, everybody just do what they do best. Dogs eat, and then the guys on the back end, we cover.
Jalen, along those lines.
I expect to, yeah.
Jalen, along those lines, Dennis Allen historically played more man coverage than you guys have played around here.
For sure.
Are you looking forward to playing a little bit more man than maybe you have in the past?
Yeah. That's what I feel like I'm best at.
Stop it here. Stop it here. Hold on. Because I just want to point something out. The man wants to travel. He said he expects to travel. I cannot wait. He said his job, what he is concerned with, is locking up the number one receiver on another team. And now I feel like he feels like the restrictor plates have been taken off. He can now go and guard whoever the best man on the field is.
Also, is it a Jalen Johnson press availability if there's not an excited cuss word in there? Like, thank you, Jalen. Thank you for pushing the envelope at good old Hallis Hall, because somebody had to do it. By the way, Jalen Johnson's press conference is brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's listen to more of midseason form in comments, Jalen Johnson.
Friends or former college teammates throughout the league that have played for either Ben Johnson or Dennis Allen?
Nah, quite honestly, they, I don't want to say they worry, don't mean too much, but their experience not going to be my experience. So, I mean, their team, their roster, their situation is different. I mean, coming in here in Chicago, it's unlike anything that anybody's experienced before. So I don't really need to or care to ask about other people's experiences.
Jalen, what do you think of the additions of Grady Jarrett and Dio and what they can bring for your defense up front?
It's havoc. From what I've seen, I mean, all I can see is the highlights on YouTube. But for the most part, I feel like they cause havoc. Grady has been playing this game at a high level for a long time. I've always been a big fan of his game. And he was in Atlanta, so, I mean, definitely getting a dog like that up front. It's going to help me out on the back end. And I know he's going to cause some havoc, too, in the run game. Pairing him, I think, with A-Bill will be a heck of a sight to see, for sure. And then Dio, I think him, too, just seeing how aggressive he is off the edge and just how disruptive he is can definitely help us on defense.
When you studied to face the Lions offense, what impression did you get of Ben and kind of what his offense would look like?
I mean, the biggest thing is eyes, just having good eye discipline, which is hard to do when you're getting smacked in the face almost every play and things like that. And then the receivers blocked hard. So, I mean, sometimes you're trying to anticipate certain blocking and then they run play action pass and things like that off of it. So I think that was probably the biggest thing, just pairing the run game and the pass game, make challenging the defense's eyes.
Good, Jalen. Just following up on you talking about wanting to win a certain type of way. What does that look like? What's the message there?
Would you rather win by 7 points or 70?
17.
So, I mean, for us, that's what...
Teams out.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you get in the fight, you just don't want to barely win the fight. You want to whoop the guy in front of you. So, I mean, that's what the mentality is for us. It's not just about barely winning or barely getting by, but dominating. And I think for us, that's the mindset that we need to have. And it's not just about trying to just get better and take the next step and just win more games than we won last year. It's, no, it's about, to me, changing in your mentality and how you go about attacking things. I feel like as a unit, if we can go in with that confidence, that mentality that we're going to go and blow the team out in front of us and that they can't mess with us, then I feel like a lot of times that willpower will get you there.
Jalen, do you pay attention to the draft? And if so, is there anybody you've got your eye on?
Pay attention to the draft or the players in the draft?
Yeah, the players in the draft.
Yes and no. I mean, all I know is really five guys, the top five. Of course, the Travis Hunter is the two quarterbacks. Probably Abdul Carter, and then probably after that, I'm not really sure. But, I mean, honestly, that's above my pay grade. I mean, guys can be great college guys in college and then come in the league and stink it up. So, I mean, we see that year after year. So, for me, I don't really pay too much time or put too much time into it. I just let the professional do their job and bring in who they feel like we need.
Higher volume of man coverage. Do you have a sense yet for what DA demands of the corners in this defense?
Meaning what, or pertaining to what?
That he wants you guys to stress, whether it's being more physical, whether it's...
I mean, I would say technique and consistency. So, I mean, that's it. Because, I mean, with a lot of repetitions, that's something you better be really good at it. So I think just being good down after down, this takes consistency, takes being in shape, takes a certain level of mental and physical strength. So, I mean, I know what it looks like personally playing the position almost my whole life. But I think just being prepared for that mentally and physically.
Jalen, you joked when you walked in that we were surprised to see you. What went into the decision to come be here?
So my respects. I think it's kind of it's big for me to just come in and be able to shake guys' hands, see them in person, not just talk to them on the phone, but to come in really just be with the guys too, show the guys that I'm here, really just show face. I think for me that it was important to do day one.
We talked with Ben and Ryan last week about the whole accountability thing. I know we broached it a lot last year. As one of the leaders of this team, what do you want that to look like in 2025 as opposed to where there might have been some pitfalls last year with that?
If you see it, call it out. I think that's the biggest thing for me. And I feel like, too, at this level, accountability isn't just talking to, but about actions and changing certain things. I mean, I feel like if I can use myself as an example, if I'm not, let's say, maybe covering as good as I need to me, it's not just accountability. Oh, yeah, Jalen, just cover better. But, I mean, to me, there's a certain action that needs to be taken from somebody else to hold me accountable to that. So, I mean, what that looks like is different for every player, every situation. But I think, too, you got to, if you see something, say something. And then if it's not getting fixed, you got to do something. So, I mean, to me, that's what accountability is.
You get a sense.
There it is. That is the most definitive answer we have gotten about how the accountability piece was exercised or not on the Bears last season.
What was your takeaway from his answer there and the way he defined things?
First of all, if you see something, say something is a very applicable term that you can use in many aspects of
so
life.
So many. I use it every day. We talk about, well, it's that's valid. Probably inappropriate for this these airwaves. But yeah, see something, say something.
No, it's always appropriate. Es verdad, if you will. So I feel like that is valid for all aspects of life. But when players feel like they are in a more comfortable place to be able to be open about stuff, which this setting hasn't happened for them since the end of the year last year, you're already getting a different way that they're talking. This is more open. This is more descriptive. What was the environment like where they felt like they couldn't even say that?
It's probably more military style in terms of, you know, some people have parents who are drill sergeants, right? And you're growing up and you know not to, quote unquote, talk back, which talk back for some people is you're questioning something that I've done or told you to do or whatever. Don't question it. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Children are to be seen, not heard. And some coaches have that mentality with their players. They're like, these are the rules. This is what you're going to follow. But what happens is if you're too harsh with that, then people feel like they can't speak up when they see something wrong.
Also, these are adults.
You know, I would say yes.
And military rank and file has its own internal system that everybody is supposed to follow. This is not the case. You know, you're dealing with autonomous adults who are getting paid way more than the guys in charge.
That is a factor going forward. And I think Ben Johnson, just with his demeanor, just going back to press conference number one with Bears players in attendance, set a certain tone, not just to us, the media, not just to the fans of the organization, but to the internal people involved, players, staff. Remember the leaked video that came out about him explaining how everybody's job was to make the players comfortable and better at their jobs? I think that the precedent has been laid down. That is the law of the land, if you will.
Yeah, it's also more a team. You know, it can't just be dependent on one guy or another guy. How much more? I know we're producing on the fly here a little bit. Okay, so we got a minute more of Jalen Johnson. We have a little bit more that we can play for you before we get to commercials. So let's listen in.
I know this is the talking phase of the offseason. Can you get a sense of if that's going to be at the level you expect it to be now, or do you have to wait till closer to, I guess, phase three when you're on the field?
I mean, that's honestly an all-season thing to me. I mean, it can start now in certain ways, but I mean, I feel like really fall camp will probably be the time where you see it the most, because that's when things are really heated. That's when things kind of start, where you start really building your base and foundation as a team. But, I mean, that can go throughout that. Go throughout the whole season. So I mean, hopefully that is something that is in somebody's mind now to do, and in our team's mind to do, and then we just carry it throughout the season.
You said it was important to be here, you know, with the new coach, just to show everybody what it means. But what do you get out of being here personally this time of year, especially with a new coaching staff?
What do I get? I mean, I would just say being familiar with them. I mean, other than that, I feel like I'm a very smart player. It's easy to study the playbook, easy to study the terminology. I train, I do the right things with my body. So, I mean, as far as those things, nothing really changes. It's just getting familiar with the guys that are now in the building.
That was Jalen Johnson's press conference brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers.
Why was I trying to figure out which word he used that we had to bleep out?
I think it was ish.
Because it was a start of an answer. He just started me off with that.
I love it because there's something about the way that he uses the words at the podium that always cracks me up. Like, I go back to the soundbite that he had about not being in the NFL's top 100 players and how poor Hard Knocks had to DHBO it, and we played it with all the bleeps at NBC, and I was cackling the whole time.
Listen, man, he feels like he has something to prove, not only as an individual, but definitely as a team. I mean, he lets you know off the top what it is. He said, I've been through it too many times.
He has. I mean, it's unfortunately a bit of a gristled veteran take, and I don't think it's bitter. I think it's just him living through what he has gone through. I mean, we went through entire seasons with this man last year.
I like the raw honesty, because he was asked, and he told him, nothing feels different. Basically saying, until something is different, nothing feels different.
You won't get your redemption, and I don't think he's going to get his redemption until November of next year, if this team has, or this year actually, next season, if this team has a winning record. He knew, you could tell in his voice exactly at what moment things started to go badly for the team. He knows. Like, I want to ask him that question when we're late in the season, and hopefully it's a different scenario.
Not only a different scenario, but we'll also know when that moment happened, when things did feel different.
Exactly.